platform. don't think it works. I don't know, but you know, there was a commercial there the guy did, and he had the same symptoms as me, the same situation, and he had it then, and he's fine. When you get to be in your 70s, you don't want to be opened up, believe me.
Yeah.
That's not what you want done. So, you know, that's just, if we can get this cooking here, Diane, with someone around here, I'm going to talk to them about it. I said, you guys do this. If you don't, I'm going to go someplace. It doesn't.
Right.
I mean, I got no choice. I mean, I'm just living on borrowed time right now. According to them.
According to them, yeah.
So that's a good news.
Well, it's news.
Well, we hope that's not true. I just want to tell everybody that we are trying to get onto SpeakFree. They were having difficulty, and so we're working on that right now. So, Jim, I just pulled up. I think this is a rather new procedure, it seems like. It's called shockwave therapy.
Well, they've been doing it for a year or so.
Yeah, so it's probably
not. It's got a more technical name than that.
Yeah, it's not in every hospital, I guess.
That's what it is. It's ultrasound. It's
okay, so it looks like it's called coronary intravascular lithotripsy. So to break up the plaque. So they use sonic pressure waves, also known as shock waves.
Okay.
I'm just muting Jim for a second because it's of the feedback. I can't mute him. So Jim, you might want to.
We're supposed to be on speak free right now.
Well, it's not streaming yet. But Jim, if you can just mute, I think we're getting feedback from. I don't think he can. I don't know if he can hear me. Yep. Okay. Nope. I can't mute his mic. So you guys are going to have to tolerate some
feedback. I can hear you.
No, I know. But if you can mute because there's feedback. I know. Okay.
I have a little bitty screen. I can't even see it. I mean, you know. I can't see where I can mute.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Okay, yep, there you go. I have the book when you're ready.
Okay, so Miss Diane, and I know we're all worried about Jim. So Miss Diane's going to continue her review of the book, 6 Million Factor Fiction.
By Peter Widows. Chapter 15.
Thank you.
We're still trying to connect to SpeakFree, and I'm sure that everybody is trying to figure out where we are.
Right.
I am going to share that screen. Well, if I can, Money Tree Publishing right here. Okay, Miss Diane, you're on.
Thank you, because I have the chapters I want to talk about. Chapter 15 is Treblinka. We've been talking about the Reinhardt camps. All sorts of sinister actions have been imposed on these particular camps because the Holocaust storytellers, as Peter Winter refers to them, can't seem to get the numbers. They can't seem to get the atrocities. And so the only way they can do that is to make them up. And Treblinka has been notorious for, I've read a book, a book about this thick, almost 2 inches. And you wouldn't believe all the atrocities that they're trying to promote. I did that when I was in high school, about Treblinka. So let's actually find out what Treblinka was all about. A temporary camp which was only existed for 15 months. It was one of the last of the Reinhardt camps in Poland, where Holocaust survivors claim in just 15 months from July 22 to 42, to October 43, at least 850,000 people were gassed and cremated. The sheer impossibility of this claim should alone be reason enough for it to be dismissed without further consideration. 850,000 gassed in 15 months means that the Nazis would have had to kill a staggering 56,000 plus people every month, 7 days a week, to achieve that figure. According to that narrative, these hundreds of thousands of bodies were buried in vast pits in the perimeter of the camp, known as Treblinka II. Hence, it's impossible to believe that close to 700,000 to 800,000 bodies could have been interred in a small area purportedly designated as Treblinka for this purpose. There just wasn't enough room, for one thing. Moreover, the Holocaust storytellers assert that in an attempt to conceal their crime, the Nazis exhumed these hundreds of thousands of bodies in just 4 months, because there was no war going on two fronts. So they had plenty of time to do this. Between April and July of 43, and incinerated them all using dry wood and branches. And of course, now there's not a tree or branch to be found in Poland or Western Russia. So I guess they accomplished it. On grids constructed of rails processing 2,000 to 2,500 at a time. The remaining ash and fragments of bone were relocated to the burial pits and layered with sand and dirt up to 2 meters deep. The volume of wood required to execute this task renders the claim implausible. Considering that burning a single body on an open pyre necessitates approximately 300 kilograms of wood over a span of 10 hours, 850,000 bodies would demand an astounding 562 million pounds. The impracticality of this assertion has not escaped the notice of the Holocaust storytellers. As Polish-Jewish historian Rachel Auerbach noted, there was no need for fuel to burn bodies at Treblinka because the bodies of women, which had a higher fat content, were used to kindle or more accurately put to build the fires among the piles of corpses. Didn't even allow for the fact that our bodies are mostly water, and any expelling of any part of the body is going to douse the entire process in water. This incredible and patently untrue assertion was followed up with the equally outrageous, equally outrageous. There were Treblinka 1 and 2, the labor camp and transit area. There were actually two camps at Treblinka designated 1 and 2. Even the Holocaust storytellers concede that Camp 1 was a labor camp that provided workforce for the nearby gravel pit and irrigation area. However, according to the storytellers, Camp 2 was the extermination center, just a few miles from 1. Commonly, it is asserted that the gas chambers at Treblinka operated using exhaust fumes from engines of Soviet Red Army tanks. And if you're thinking, I don't think the Soviets could create something that provided efficient anything, let alone killing machines in this capacity. The allegations of mass murder at Treblinka become even more implausible when it's taken into account that there were only 50 SS men stationed at Treblinka. The assertion that these 50 men, with the aid of tank engine, could exterminate 850,000 individuals in a year and erase all evidence is patently absurd and a clear lie. Could not happen. The Black Book of Polish Jewry claims execution by steam in Treblinka. So, okay, well, the diesel engine thing wasn't going to be swallowed, so they had to do the steam. And then another one was execution by vacuum chambers. And that was, again, rather ludicrous because they didn't have the time. They really didn't have the technology. Aerial photography of Treblinka shows no sign of an extermination camp. Forensic examination of Treblinka site reveals no mass graves. Hate it when that happens. Second forensic analysis in 2010 of Treblinka reveals no mass graves. It completely corroborates what has been claimed. The third forensic analysis of Treblinka in 2013 and the Star of David gas chamber tiles hoax. There was supposedly a watershed discovery of Star of David tiles confirming the existence of Treblinka's gas chambers. That means they had to leap to that conclusion and becomes the key to reconstructing the death camp sinister operations. This statement referred to the discovery of some tiles at the Treblinka site. The documentary depicted Coles and her Dutch colleague, Ivar Schutte, excavating a ditch and uncovering 4 pieces of ceramic tile. Therefore, they had to conclude that these, as a result of having these tiles, although the tile itself was not the Star of David, but was another company. It just had the 6 points on it. Witnesses who were allowed in the gas chamber and the area talked about the Star of David on the outside of the gas chamber building to build up the illusion that people were going to somewhere that was safe and supposedly deceptive. In any event, no eyewitness has ever claimed that there were Stars of David inside a gas chamber at Treblinka, only that there was a Star of David over the front door of the gas chamber. The 125-year-old Dzielewski, my Polish is really not that great, Lange porcelain factory in Poland, which still exists, had apparently the symbol of the brand. See, because they were more challenging was Kohl's and Schutte and the Smithsonian's that the symbol they claimed to be Star of David was in fact not even Star of David at all, but a brand mark on this porcelain factory. And that, so again, this is clearing things up. It's egregiously amateurish for so-called specialist archaeologists like Kohl's and Schutte to make sure such a fundamental mistake to claim that a mullet star is a mullet star is a Star of David. Like they're grasping. Oh, this Star of David tiles. Somebody must have been killed here. However, there's no evidence to support this claim. The whole Heffel telegram, we discussed the Heffel telegram earlier, had already confirmed that over 700,000 people passed through Treblinka transit and labor camp. And given those numbers and pressures of wartime evacuations of that magnitude, it would be surprising if there were no graves in the vicinity. There would have been some, but not what they're talking about. The evidence of the Treblinka guard, Pavel Velikov, the confession that he provides mirrors the structure of other Soviet coerced statements, several claims about Treblinka that are now easily refutable. Jewish, this is a Jewish movement. I apologize. Other confessions. The problem with these confessions is there's conflicting information going back and forth. The Jewish Soviet non-German, a lot of the claims of German atrocities were actually committed by Jews and Soviets, which are the same, not the Germans. The Franz Stangl trial and his memoirs. In 1970, the former commandant of Treblinka was Franz Stangl, was put on trial and found guilty of murder despite the eyewitnesses' accounts, often being contradictory, as outlined above. In court, Stangl denied any knowledge of mass exterminations. And it seems as was often the case with Nazi Holocaust criminals, Stangl died a few hours after the interviews were completed, and therefore he never saw the finished product or had the chance to object to any distortions or insertions. He miraculously died. Just kind of seems like this is happening a lot. The Sukomo confession in Claude Lanzmann's movie Showa. It's often claimed that a confession by a former SS man, Franz Sukomo, made in the 1985 documentary film Showa, directed by the French-Jewish producer Claude Lanzmann, proves the existence of the Treblinka gas chambers. This film's confession shows an indistinct individual claimed to be Sukomo describing a gas chamber at work in Treblinka. There are two aspects of this confession which bring into question. Firstly, the technical aspects of Lanzmann's film and the factual details of the confessions. So there were a number of conflicts in regard to the conclusion. And this is it's important to realize all this comes to a point. From this overview, the following conclusions about the Treblinka camp can be drawn. While there is little physical documentary evidence for the camp, it is clear that it did exist, and it was like the other Action Reinhardt camps, a transit camp for further dispersal of Jews being shipped eastward. There's no physical evidence for the existence or operation of gas chambers at the camp, as has been confirmed by at least two establishment archaeological excavations. The only evidence that has been proffered for the extermination allegations are once again easily disproven and highly contradictory statements, which cannot agree over the method of execution, the size of the camp, the methods of disposing of the bodies, or any of the other key points of the overall allegation. Treblinka goes by the way of another Reinhardt camp false story. Yeah, Showa, absolutely. Next week, I believe it's the last one dealing with the Reinhardt camp is Madonic, and we have some interesting information regarding Madonic. Ta-da.
Diane, and I just want to remind everybody that we are streaming on Speak Free video right now. However, I can't get to the website, so I can't look at the chat. I tried it with two browsers and my cell phone, and Dave Gaheri said he's also having a problem.
Wow.
So we know you're out there. Thank you for watching. And I guess just bear with us, because at some point I'll be able to get in the chat and see what everybody's saying. So just to update you, Jim is in the hospital in Texas. He had a mild heart attack, and he's looking at alternative ways to unclog two arteries in his heart
that have already been supposedly been fixed with the first bypass surgery he had in 2018.
Are they the same ones?
As I understand it, I thought these were the ones that were as a product of the bypass. Because he had a triple bypass. There's only one that hasn't been, quote unquote, treated.
Listen, I've known people to have six. So, So it could be. So I don't know if Jim wants to chime in. If he wants, but Jim, I think, might be frozen. Henry, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm unfrozen. That's what
you're
unfrozen.
But
I'm concerned about Jim. I wanted to, I don't want to be a wet blanket to his plans, but I would think that, they say, Jim, that 70 is the new 50. In terms of people's abilities to do what our forebears could not do just a generation or two ago, I would ask the doctors, and this is, of course, free advice, and free advice is worth every penny, but I would ask the doctors what they think your chances of survival and a successful recovery from an open-heart procedure, invasive. And I believe me, I share the fear that you have. I remember when I was 55 and had to go under the knife for that. I was in a period of resting in preparation. And I said, I don't feel all that bad. Why am I going to go and have them cut my chest open? And this nurse friend of mine told me, because you don't want to spend the rest of your life on the couch. You want to do things. So if I don't know what you mean by them telling you you're on borrowed time, that I guess that disturbs me. Of course, I'm easily disturbed, but I think, I want the best for you, and I certainly fully respect your decisions, because they're your decisions, your body. But I would certainly ask them what their opinion is about whether, you are at age, 73, 74, whether you're capable of 72,
in September.
But you're a young guy from my standpoint. So, anyhow, that's my two cents, Jim. I support you no matter what you do.
I agree, Jim. I agree. Also, these doctors, they also always tell you the absolute worst opinion of things, right, to get you to their formulation of pharmaceuticals and or surgeries and or treatments, So, hail and hearty, brother. I would suggest getting a personal Rife machine, because the shockwave machine is probably the right way to go right now, and just knock the blockage out. That's exactly what it is, right? You don't need to bypass. You can get rid of the blade blockage altogether, So you can take care of business, brother. You got your back.
Okay.
Yeah, good words. Today at our weekly protest in Ann Arbor, we had a special guest, and it was an amazing day. I want to hear Miss Diane's, if you don't remind me referring to you as Miss Diane, what your feedback is, tell Uncle Murray and Jim and whoever else is listening on Speak Free Radio, what your experience was today. What'd you think about us? Our group is, I call it two men and a sign, a takeoff on that, expression of two men and a truck, the moving company. You met the whole crew. So
right.
What do you want to tell the folks here about your experience?
Absolutely courageous after we survived the slings and arrows of train travel interference that we had to deal with and circumnavigate. And I believe you did a great job, particularly in an area you were unfamiliar with, just to get there. Once we got there, Chris had already set up the signs that were in his trunk. And then we began to set up your signs as well. It was particularly disturbing why we were there, of course, to protest the policies of Israel primarily and the boot on our neck, which is the Holocaust. And numerous signs were spread out. A lot of people responded from the road very positively. I don't know, maybe I just tuned out the negative ones. A lot of honking and two thumbs up and so on. But what was very disturbing to see how many people were going into this hall of hell, the synagogue. And more disturbing were the number of kids that were being taken in. And it was the entire time we were there, they were coming in. And when we finally were done with our breakfast today and came back, then they started leaving. But there were so many, and that was horribly disturbing. The men were wearing their beanies, and the women, you really can tell. Jim had said this, you can always tell a Jewish woman. I'll tell you what, they were stereotypical of what you might suspect. And how long does it take to tell these people that they're the masters of the universe? But what they have it constantly going on and on and on. And so, of course, this is Sabbath, and I guess people were there as a pretense. And, you know, Henry and I were talking, and I said, he mentioned about when he was a kid, he used to attend here and come in there to pray. I said, who are you praying to? You realize that he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer is an abomination. And that's one of the scriptures. The other one is that if Jesus Christ is the Messiah, then they're rejecting the Messiah. Their prayers are going to fall flat. I don't know who they're praying to. And so, but anyway, we didn't have any aggressive responses. There were people, particularly women, who had this, I'm not going to smile if it kills me. And it looked like it would have. We were very pleasant. Said, well, good morning, and how are you? And but they would never, because they can't justify our existence out there. And Henry has a lot of stories about how they felt inside, about what he was doing outside. But it was thanks for Henry picking me up and taking me back, and also for his because of the problems with United when I was coming in. And Jim has spoken about that. Henry picked me up. My daughter and grandson were not able to because of their work schedule. And so Henry stepped up and volunteered. He helped with that, taking me to her house. And Ann Arbor is not that close to her house. I mean, for Texas, that wouldn't be that big a deal. But for, you know, the rest of the world, it seems like a long distance. And he was willing to do that. So I'm very grateful for his kindness and generosity in helping us in a fix that we were in. I can't swear to what air travel is going to be like. They have a hard enough time trying to fill their crew requirements with the number of people that they'd fired because these people wouldn't take the vax. And now the people that have taken the vax become a dangerous entity for flying because of the clots and heart attacks issue. And so the other practice have to go in. They have more insistence on crew rest. Like, that's going to help if you have a shot that a vaccine that's killing your heart and then providing life-threatening clots to your system. And so they're now having to deal the product of that. I knew this was coming. I've been reading about it. But then you add the weather factor into it. It's just, it's almost impossible. And that's just United. I don't know what the other airlines are doing. And United is the main, its main hub is in both Houston and Chicago. So I don't know what air travel bodes for us. I'm glad I don't have to do it. If you can drive, drive. It's best to drive. I'm grateful to Henry for his help and also being able to participate. It was a gorgeous day in his demonstration. And I was thinking of a lot of signs that we could use, which are not necessary. We had plenty. Couple dozen signs strung all along the road. I could watch people in the cars trying to read them. That was interesting because they were trying to respond to us and ignore us, and some would be in total shock. The ones were walking, but it was out there just taking a stand. I know they have low expectations about how this is going to produce any results. They've been doing it for 20 years, but they are still out there. And those are the two things: the horror of the Hall of Hell, and the courageous actions of Henry and Chris and whoever else shows up besides myself, regulars.
Well, it was great to have you on board today.
Thank you.
The sign you wore, was it the death camp sign or the? It was death camps question mark.
It was either the one that said. Death camps, really? Question mark. Yeah, death camps, really?
I just post that. I don't physically carry it, so I was really pleased to see that someone would step up and carry it. The professor at the University of Michigan, who also attends the synagogue, generally, if he sees us, and I guess he hasn't been there very often because his health is failing. But he would zero in. I was telling Diane earlier today, he would zero in on the new guy on the block and go up to him and try to tell him what a horrible person Henry is. And he says, this man even visited that evil Ernst Zundel in prison and carried a sign that said, "Free Ernst Zundel." And I wished he had showed up today, Diane, and talked with you, because he would have gotten an earful. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the people that he talks to, he gets away with scaring them away from participating in our protests because they don't want to be associated with Holocaust deniers. And, that guy that drove up and shouted at you, "Are you a Holocaust denier?" And I said, "Yes." And you asked the guy a question, but of course they never want to talk about anything. They just want to insult you and drive away. So I was glad you had your thick skin on, and as we do every Saturday morning, and say, if they want to stop their car and talk, we're more than willing to talk to them in a reasonable, rational way, questioning them, giving them the right to believe what they want. If they want to believe that the National Socialists, when the tide of the war started changing against them, they decided with losing funding, losing men, losing machinery, let's create homicidal gas chambers and we can gas the Jews without a funding source, without a blueprint, without a sketch or a drawing to build these things. You know, if you want to believe that, you're free to believe that. If I want to believe the opposite, I risk a jail sentence in many countries. Mm-hmm. So I think that alone speaks. And I just wish that Victor had shown up and had assaulted you, because he would have gotten more back than he had ever bargained for. So again, thank you for showing up. You increased our population by 50%. And we appreciate you, and we thank you for the breakfast and the Snickers bar. I won't forget.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to always remember that.
So I'm going to be signing off soon. I'm glad to see you, Jim. I want to see you some more. So do what you think is proper. Know you have my support behind you, and I hope to see you in the near future.
Yep. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you.
So I'm going to take off now, and I'll see you guys next week.
Okay, take care, Henry.
All right, safe flight back there, Diane. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Henry. Appreciate it.
Okay, so I just found something on BitChute that I'm going to share. And, Jim, this is for you. This is from Gypsy Fox, which I think is very sweet. I haven't listened to it, so let's hear it. Titled Say Prayers for Jim Rizzoli. There he goes.
What's up, you guys, Gypsy Fox? Everybody out there in the internet world, if you're a truther, say a prayer and send some good energy and some good thought to Jim Rizzoli. There's not too many people out there that have balls that tell the truth about things. And even though I don't agree with a lot of what Jim Rizzoli believes, he still puts a lot of truth out there. And right now he needs his friends and the people that follow him to send him a prayer, send him an email, let him know that you're thinking about him, and just put some good energy out there for him. You don't have to always agree and like everybody out there in the truth community. However, if you are an actual truther and you do actually say things that is trying to help the underdog, Jim Rizzoli is definitely one of the people that is fighting for the little guy. So say a prayer for him. Thank you.
So that was really sweet, don't you think, Uncle Murray?
That was pretty cool. Hell to you, brother.
Yeah, no. And Miss Diane, I muted you because I think
I know, that's fine. I apologize. I was hoping that Jim would call you because I think it's better to be able to broadcast so he can't hear anything that's going on and he can't speak. So he's saying if you're not streaming through Speak Free Radio, which I thought you were, then to cut you off at an hour. Yeah.
No. Okay. So we are streaming through Speak Free. So Uncle Murray, we can't load the chat for some reason. We are streaming on Speak Free video, but the chat will not load. I can see that there are people viewing and they probably can't chat either. So I just wanted to say hello. I wish I could see comments that you would put up there, but there is nothing right now because it just keeps circling, but it is live, just to let everybody know.
We are live. So, we are live. Yeah.
We are live.
It's a bit weird, right? All the snafus going on tonight. I guess they picked a different target today.
Yeah. So maybe they didn't want us to stream.
Yeah, well, we beat them, didn't we?
Yeah. So I have a question for Uncle Murray.
Oh, dear.
Right. So I just got a text that says a lot of people did not hear what's going on with Jim. And I just want to update people who are listening live that Jim Rizzoli's actually had a heart attack. And I think that might have been yesterday or the day before, but he's in a hospital in Texas. I guess he has two clogged vessels that they say the only way they can repair would be through open heart surgery, which he had before, I guess, in 2018. He does not want to do it. He is looking into some ultrasonic treatment. And so we did have him on, but it's hard for him because he's not plugged in and to the Ethernet. He's only relying on the hospital Wi-Fi. So it was hard to hear him. He couldn't hear us, and then it kept freezing. So Miss Diane is coming to us from Ohio. And Uncle Murray, do you have something in your background? I can hear background stuff.
Yeah. I'll mute while
just shut it off. Yeah. Okay. So I did want to ask Uncle Murray, and I don't want to pick a fight. Okay. I don't want to pick a fight. But so yes, was it yesterday or the day before? I guess in the evening, the jury came back and Trump was indicted, 34 charges against him. So I'm just going to say, what I think. And then Uncle Murray, you can say what you think. I think it's a bunch of bullshit. It's all fake. And what I saw, it's funny because I said this to somebody on Thursday night when I found out, say around 6 o'clock. And I said, this is a big, it's, you know, to get the country riled up, to split everybody into different parties, and also to raise money. Because when I looked at Trump's Federal Election Commission account, I looked at it probably like 4 or 5 months ago because I was curious to see he had raised, oh my God, I think in all his accounts, it might have been $1 billion in 2016. And when I looked, he did not have a lot of money. He had not raised a lot of money, but somebody texted me by the Friday after I had said this. And I think overnight he had raised like either 38 million or 58 million. And it is, in my opinion, it's all fake. And Uncle Murray, what do you think? I know. What are you going to say, Uncle Murray?
This will be fun. This is no problem at all. Listen, just like you said, this is all a big show. Right, but just the way you spelled it before on the screen, S-H-O-A-H, okay? This is all circus. This is bread and circus is what's going on, right? Once again, what's the last official act of any crooked government? It's to fleece the nation, right? $52 million gone to a guy who doesn't really need $52 million. First of all, why does he need $52 million for anything? Right. Once again,
Uncle Murray, can I just tell you? Can you lower the whatever you have in the background?
It's another room.
Okay. Because it's coming through.
It's coming through. All right.
Yeah. Somebody texted me.
All right. It's on his game shows. It's game shows.
Okay. Can you yell to the person in the other room to shut it off? How's that?
Oh, I wish I could. I'll be brief. So. It's a show that's going on, guys. That's all it is. So, there's the whole voting thing. Once again, our election infrastructure has been taken hostage, right? And should be clear to everyone right now. None of these guys are working for us. They're working for another country, right? 385 of them never even signed the oath of office, right? And the Brunson Brothers suit was successful, I believe, so that they can be thrown out of office, right? What we got to do is throw them out of office and replace them with honest people. I mean, I don't know what else to recommend, right? This is what I was talking about, making a shadow campaign. Go to these offices, see what they do, and replace them. Tell them to go home and never come back again. I believe most of them are Masons, right? So that they're following the directions of their elders is what they're doing. And their elders, of course, are beholden to a bunch of scumbags, right, who are messing up our lives for absolutely no bloody reason. Well, you know, this is for fun and games. It's sort of like, remember Kingsman? Remember the evil villain of Valentine, right? So, you know, it's just for fun and games. So, you know, it gives out free Wi-Fi, but there's a chip inside to make you crazy, and then, church full of people go crazy. Once again, Christianity bashing. Yeah, it just goes on and on. So it's just another vector in the multi-pronged attack I'm always talking about. This actually came up the other night on a good show, so I'm kind of happy all this stuff is getting out. Because we can see what's going on, everyone, but no one's really doing anything. And then when someone does something, everyone sits there and watches. Instead of giving up and joining them, right? Listen, these things have to happen in tandem. It's got to be a reaction, and then there's got to be a movement, right? These reactions are isolated and they don't go anyplace. Get them go place, right? Like Louisiana has the Ten Commandments back in schools. How's that? Okay, and I believe in public buildings. right? So all the states should replicate this. Remember when they kick God out of school? Well, nature abhors a vacuum. So what replaced it, guys? It's all very easy. This is all, it's all simple math. I know some people grew up with Common Core, but go back to your regular math. Okay. Start doing regular math and you'll see how easy all this is. And, it's a game. I typed in the chat, but I know no one can see this maybe. It's a game of
Othello.
Yes. Yeah, Othello. It's a black versus white. You see, cause that's an easy fight to happen because you don't have to think. All you have to do is say, oh, is it black or is it white? Right. And you don't really have to think. You just got to make sure you're not on the board when the chopping starts. Okay. You like, did you see the video? I'll mention this because this is really funny. Did you see the video that just happened a couple days ago of some migrant chopping up a bunch of people? Right. He attacks a bunch of people at an anti-migrant, setup. My brain's blanking for that. And the guy starts attacking out of nowhere, right? So they restrain him. Two guys restrain him. A police officer comes by. What does the police officer do? It's in Germany, I believe. In Germany. He knocks the guys off of the stabber. So the stabber gets up, and what does the stabber do as he's restraining one of the guys who was restraining the stabber? He stabs the police guy in the bloody neck and kills him. Purportedly. This is what I heard. I haven't looked it up myself yet. But it's a meme. All the memes are coming true, guys. It's like I said, this is all a big show, and they're actually acting out all of this stupid stuff that we've seen for decades. It's amazing.
Miss Diane, did you want to? Thank you, Uncle Murray. Miss Diane, do you want to pop in there?
Well, I heard and saw something to that effect that he was talking about. If there's going to be a miscarriage of justice, an enforcement of injustice. It's going to be inequitable. That's just to be expected. We're going to see this now in regard to your the show, which I believe it was a drama. This business about Trump being found guilty and so on. I think that's all drama. And if he's generating a lot of income donations as a result of this, I guess it's working.
Well, and it, you know, it's sad because I was involved in politics, and they basically, these people, they feed off of poor people. And so people are so desperate right now because they don't know what's going on. And they think that getting somebody elected to office is going to do anything. And everybody here already knows that that's how I feel about this. Getting somebody into office is not going to change anything. Nope. You can't, the system is gone. It's too far gone. And, you know, that's what they do. This is what the GOP does, the Democrat Party, any of these parties. All they do is raise money. It's wealth redistribution. It's another way for them to take money from one group and give it to the powerful group. It's that simple. Running for office is not going to change anything. It's not. It's not going to change anything. You're better off taking care of your family, right? Taking care of the people around you and spreading the truth. But running for office is a waste of time, in my humble opinion.
I agree with you. I didn't say run for office. I said take those freaks out of office and do it yourself. Stop depending on people.
You can't. I know, but
of course we can. Of course we can.
How, Uncle Murray?
Just do it. That's all. Listen, if I were whole as I were before, I'd just do it myself and show you. Okay? All I can do is say it now.
Do what?
Okay, so go. So these public, they're representatives, right? So they serve a function. There's something that they actually do that they're being paid. They're being paid to do, right? That job. Do that job. I ran an entire mental facility and hospital. I backed up all their data and all the patient data. I used to do it in double shifts sometimes. Okay, seriously, there's no patient ever lost his life when I was doing that. So if I could do that, anybody else can do some modicum of anything, okay?
Yeah, I think it has to run its course. I don't know.
Well, doing your own job is the thing to do.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that's it.
But don't get all worked up over this the Trump nonsense, because
right. It's all a show, guys. Right, that's the whole thing.
Don't give him any money.
Just like okay, well, just like Jim said, right? Listen, if you're gonna actually do something, do it out of a biblical need to do it, not because some politician told you. Okay, I mean, come on, what kind of conviction are you gonna have with that?
I don't know. Maybe we'll all be convicted. Ever think of that? I'm kidding. It was a joke. It was a joke. It was a stab at humor. Okay, this was on Jim's channel, Parody, Margaritaville, May 29th, 2024. We're going to play this as we go into the break. I don't know what this is. I'm just going to play it.
The song.
Here we go. Let's all sing together. Interesting.
Taking in Fox News, seeing the live view. They think it's best that the view's not known. There's a big genocide. They know they must hide. Feel the ground, there's gonna be a big blow. Wasted away some more Western Hebrew land. Waiting for the old order to die. People can tell that things are going to hell, but you know they can't figure out why. Play for sucker, and even watch Tucker. While the girls in my family are watching the view, each day I feel sicker, needing more liquor. Can't trust the TV, don't know what I can do. Wasting away some more Western Hebrew land. Waiting for the old order to die. People can tell that things are going to hell, but you know they can't figure out why. Suffering from TDS, building Trump up by tearing him down. Tired of the welfare, can see they don't fight fair. You know where to turn when the vote comes around. Wasting away some more Western Hebrew land. Waiting for the old order to die. People can tell that things are going to hell, but you know they can't figure out why. Figure out why.
All right. That was DC Dave. Yeah, I think go to DCDave.com if you want to read about the 17 techniques of truth suppression. It's a very handy list.
So who is he, DC Dave?
He's a poet and a writer. He wrote a lot about James. I would say he's the foremost expert right now of James Forrestal, right, our first secretary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who was murdered, right? In fact, yeah, I think he was writing about something else besides that poem Nightingale that he was supposedly transcribing, right? Maybe he was talking about the flying machines in Antarctica or something. I don't know.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to let Always Honest come in. I don't know if and Jim looks like Jim's back.
All right, welcome back, brother.
Okay,
Jim wanted to come in to be able to provide comments either in the private chat or whenever the chat room comes up for Speak Free Radio.
Okay, and it looks like he is gone. I just put him in, and now he's gone. And so we're Dave. Gahiri is working on trying to work on the chat for Speak Free Video. And
right, Speak Free Radio. Right. Speak Free
okay.
Radio.
Right. Always Honest. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hear Jim's not feeling too well, and I wish him the best and healing with Godspeed, regardless of what type of a procedure he chooses. But I got to tell you, he's almost 58-year-old cousin had a heart attack because he had a valve issue. They did emergency open heart surgery on him. And within, I would say, 12 days, he was almost completely healed up. It was amazing. So I think that really doing some strong research right now for different options and maybe not having... So first of all, don't get a Jewish doctor. I think that's probably a given.
They're usually Indian.
Well, you know, but that's almost Jewish these days. The way the Indians are acting, I think somewhere they've been indoctrinated into the Talmud somehow.
Yes, part the whole that. Medical school. Yeah, you got that right.
they're part of it, you know. So I don't know if I trust the Indians right. either. I'm sure, you know, Texas. Yes. There's a lot of white boys in Texas. There's got to be an open heart surgeon or, you know, someone there that can give you a second opinion on your ability to heal, because you sound like a strong guy. He sounds like he's basically healthy outside of, I don't know, his medical issues, but outside of the heart issue. You know, he seems strong and healthy. You guys are living a good life. So I don't think he should be afraid of recovering from open heart surgery, per
se. But this will be his second. The bypass of the first one in 2018 was supposed to have taken care of these problems. And now, in fact, now they're blaming him because of you should see Jim's diet. It's the most restrained. I mean, he eats way better than I do, although he doesn't drink wine, and I think Henry said he should. But he doesn't drink any alcohol. He's extremely austere, very careful about his exercise. He's been doing this for years, and the doctor had the gall to say, your cholesterol is high because you're not eating right. Which shows
you know what? The cholesterol has nothing to do. Cholesterol has nothing to do with what's going on with him. As a matter of fact, most of the people who die of heart attacks have very, very low cholesterol.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. So is he on any other medications?
No, he's not on any. Just the supplements.
You know what? He's going to go to a... If he were to do an open heart surgery, you're going to go to a surgeon who does like a million of these a year. They're so good at it. He's not relating to who you are as a person. He's not getting any information about you. He's just looking at your heart and how he's going to fix it. That's literally how they relate. So,
and at any cost. And Jim has already been through this. And it took quite a bit in the recovery. It took when he had this done before in 2018. It took him over a year before it stopped hurting his chest. And I remember, you know, they took a vein out of his leg. It took quite a while for that to stop hurting as well.
Wow.
And so we're not talking 12 days, we're talking over a year. And
he had full open heart surgery. It's a 14-hour surgery on my cousin. I couldn't believe it. It was a time, and the scar was, I mean, so I have another friend who's he's in his late 70s right now. He had quadruple bypass. Then he went back in 4 years later and had two more double bypass.
Oh, for Pete's sakes. Okay, well, that's interesting. Okay.
So, and he's alive and doing just fine. He happens to be Jewish, actually. But he's alive and he's doing fine. So, you know, people can be okay with it as long as there's no other underlying issues. And keep in mind, they're always trying to, doctors don't know anything literally about diet, nutrition.
No, that's right. Health. Nutrition, they're illiterate. Absolutely. Yep.
You know, there's a lot of alternative things you can do, but heart issues and clogged arteries and things like that, you know, you have to be really careful with them, you know, and heart attacks and heart disease are kind of something of the past to really, you know, be open about it. They've got the surgeries and the treatments and everything down to a point where it's routine.
I know it's
really
supposed
is.
There shouldn't
it's
be.
It's supposed to be, but the recovery's rough, especially when you're older. I'm 60. I'm not in my 70s, but I had, and not even as difficult of a surgery. When I was younger, I made the stupid mistake of putting breast implants in, and they popped, and they had to replace them, and they got encapsulated. I mean, it was a problem. Every 4 or 5 years, I had to redo them. So finally, I was like, you know what? I'm taking them out because I don't want to deal with doctors anymore. After this, like, what if they pop in my? And then, what do you need them for when you're older? So,
yeah,
you know, it was to me, it was like a dated purse. It was time to get rid of it. So that's what I did. But I got to tell you, you know, they cut across the bottom of your chest and it took me a year to heal.
Yeah.
It was, and they didn't open up my bone chest cavity. They didn't do any of that, but just that alone was a huge heal. So I totally, totally understand how he's apprehensive about going through a surgery like that again. I surely would be myself. And there are other options. I know if it's just a clogged artery or something like that, they can do the balloon that goes inside. They've got all kinds of laser treatments now. There's all kinds of options. And I'm almost wondering if you might want to just hop over to another heart specialist close by.
He's considering it.
I would for sure not just go with one opinion. Super important to not just go with one single doctor. I would go to at least two, but because he's in the hospital with a heart attack.
Okay.
My sons are in the background eating pizza.
Yeah.
But I couldn't speak for radio. It kept breaking up. So I wanted to kind of be able to hear what was going on. I was concerned for Jim. So I that's why I came on. I didn't even know you guys were going to call me. I was just kind of sitting in the background.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. I don't mind because I always love chatting with you guys. And, you know, I kind of wanted to wish him my best and healing energy his way and not to fear anything because God needs him still alive. And he's not going to, nothing's going to happen to him. He'll be fine. It's just a feeling that I have. I think he just needs to. It's hard to get second opinions in hospitals when you're already in the hospital because the doctors that can come into those hospitals are contracted. So you have to, you know, kind of be clever about how you get your second opinions once you're already hospitalized.
Yeah.
But definitely it's super important to get that second and even third opinion. You know, and the way these guys are, your doctors are looking at you like you're the problem. And I don't know if I really like that thought process for them, you know, hey, you clogged up your lungs, because they're so stupid just to make a comment like, oh, your cholesterol's the problem.
The cholesterol thing is a myth. It's been proven.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know a guy who's got 1200 cholesterol. Okay? 1200. And he just looks at me and he goes, oh, I'm already dead.
According to the medical profession. Yeah.
They say, so if your cholesterol goes under 200, your body stops functioning. All you know.
So I busted out. I have really good friends who are doctors. I was with a doctor for 17 years. He did microscopic eye surgeries on people. So, and he was more into holistic healing and things like that. And he totally would not. He always warned me, eat organic foods, you know, really research everything. And he was an amazing doctor. So these doctors, they don't know. So one of the things he taught me was that our brain has a membrane.
Honest. I'm sorry. It's very hard to hear for people who are listening with the background. So I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off like that.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Is better?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay.
I closed the door. So
thank you.
I fell off track though.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. It just said when it's streaming, you guys don't realize how it's people
loud.
Hear it on the other end.
I hear sometimes.
Yeah.
I do. I have two toddlers actually, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So
wow.
they get a bit noisy. Yeah, I did IVF, which is something that I thank the homosexual men for, because if they didn't want to have babies while they were with other men, then none of this would have been a possibility. So all the stuff we put on homosexual men, I mean, they did create one great thing in helping people have babies that can't or have a harder time.
This is turning into be a medical show tonight.
I don't want it to be a medical show because you guys have the most important thing in the world is to teach everybody that the Holocaust didn't exist. And once that is broken, and I really think that spell is slowly, 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 like pulling teeth, slowly diminishing.
So I just want to take a break and remind everybody that on Saturday nights, Hoax Busters is on Speak Free Video. And Dave Gahiri actually came in, and they're trying to figure out there's something wrong with the chat, and they do apologize, and we apologize. There's something wrong with the Speak Free Video chat. But remember that to go to Speak Free Radio, and you can get all these great people. I'm going to pull it up. All these great shows. Look at this. Plug in your headphones when you're out there in the yard doing your gardening like I do. Tonight after Hoax Busters is Caravan to Midnight. It starts at 10:06 p.m., goes to 1 a.m.
You got fun this morning, Monday to Saturdays. Is it 5 a.m.? Is it 5 a.m.? No, 7. 7 to 10.
Well, it says 8 a.m. to 11. That's what it says 11. Here.
No,
8 to 11 here. And then you have Inside the Eye, Red Ice Radio. And then remember to take your money and send it to Dave Gahiri's MoneyTreePublishing.com.
Boom.
And don't just give him the money, get a book.
No.
You want the money?
No.
What do you want?
Yes.
Money.
No
money.
Thank you.
Money.
Thank you for. I want Jim to get better. I want Jim. I want Jim out of the hospital.
Same here, brother.
Okay, so
yeah,
we're going to go high
it.
Back, and what are we going to do? What are we going to
no,
do?
What, so, what we're going to do is, well, is no. I'm going to reprimand him because he's not supposed to be in the hospital. So where is he?
Some hospital now. In Texas.
He keeps appearing. Wait, let me get something straight. He's in Texas. You're in Massachusetts. And Diane is in Ohio?
Yes, she is.
There's somebody behind Diane.
That is very true.
Diane, someone just came into your room.
That's not my room.
Yeah.
That's my daughter. This is her
She's
room.
She's waving. Oh, geez.
Okay,
Jim's going to get better.
I've lost control. Jim's going to get better.
You have. Jim's going to get better. So. Yes.
Okay. It's a good thing that my screen is not on.
yes.
So Dave Gahan.
No, I like how you handle the show, Diana.
Yeah,
it's very. Do you have any German in you?
I have so many languages in my head right now because I'm in Boston and everything is Spanish. So, Yavol,
not even close.
How's that? Yavol,
yes, that's
yes,
good.
I actually have some German in me.
Right.
You have genetic proclivities.
Yes, I have German in me. But I just want to say thank you, Dave, for allowing us to stream on Speak Free Video. And I know you're trying to figure out what's going on with the chat. Because I can't get into the chat.
Well, thank you guys for being on Speak Free Video and for being on Speak Free Radio. But I wanted to say that because you brought up the, you know, going through Money Tree and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I said something a couple of weeks ago on a show, and I am going to continue to say it like this. Did you hear that noise?
Yeah.
Somebody else, it wasn't you.
What was that?
It wasn't you. I think it was behind Reese.
Okay, so it sounded like a gremlin or something.
Yeah, it could be behind Reese, yeah.
Can I just make a public service announcement? Can I do that for a second?
Is it about Money Tree?
No.
Is it about Money Tree?
No, it's not. But when you come on the program, I'm just going to remind everybody, when you come on the program, just make sure there's no background noise, right? Uncle Murray, no game shows, no background noise, because it's very difficult for the audience to hear, because they're competing with you talking or somebody talking and that whatever is going on in the background. So there's my public service announcement. Okay, Dave, you're on.
Yes, good job. Yeah, and that's true. That's like a pet peeve of mine. You know, these noises that... I don't know, you know, sometimes like people call up and it's always the same person or people, and there's those, you know, they're eating or washing dishes. It's like, what are you doing?
I think they forget and they don't realize that the phones or the computers, the microphones are so sensitive.
Yes.
That even if you're typing, you can pick it up, and it's very hard for the listener, especially when you're live. It's
and
very
I've done
hard
that. I've been
hear.
Guilty of that. Yeah.
Well, cut it out, Dave. Stop.
Exactly.
Just stop. Right. You want to talk about
Money
Tree
Publishing? I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying. Yes. Yeah, so, no, I didn't want to. I wanted to say this. So, you know, Speak Free has been around since April Fool's Day of 2022, right? So we had our 2-year anniversary just not too long ago. I mean, it just seems like it was just April. Now it's June. So 2 months ago, we had we're going into our third year, and we didn't know what it would be like, right? How it would evolve into what it's evolved into. And it's been fun along the way. But if you can look at the schedule, all the listeners, you'll see that it's developed in such a way that it's a lot now of original programming. So before we had, you know, obviously a tiny amount of original programming, and we simulcasted, you know, like brought in shows from other networks. Now, if you look at Monday, let's just go to Monday if we could, Diana. So this was the past Monday, right? So, at 8 o'clock in the morning is Flood, and Flood goes for 3 hours till 11. And then right after Flood.
Who is this? This is awesome. Bail Busters. Come on. Ball, that's
yeah. Like Ball. Yeah.
I know. Ball Busters. Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's a guy who came. Now Giuseppe brought a lot of these hosts on. So he's been doing a lot of work. So Giuseppe and I have been working together to move Speak Free Radio in a different direction. And the direction is more focusing on, you know, the real issues that confront us, i.e., Jews. So these hosts here, Flood, Daniel on Ball Busters, Giuseppe Sane Asylum. It was just Monday, right? Giuseppe Sane Asylum till 3 o'clock. See, Jim Fetzer is piped in from RBN. That's not original programming. And the original programming starts at 8 o'clock. And now Davis Lerman, I don't know if you guys have heard him yet, but that goes till 11 now. So he's 3 hours. He's very hard hitting. All these guys are hard hitting. And then Nick at Nation Review goes all the way till 2 in the morning. So these guys, you know, from the top, Flood, which is The Flood, that's the name of the show. And then Baal, I guess that's like Baal, like.
Yeah, Baal Bust, yep.
Yeah, that creature, Baal. Daniel at Baal Busters. And Giuseppe, the Sane Asylum. And then that original programming ends at 3. And then right after Giuseppe is Jim Fetzer coming from RBN. And then there's a what they call a mix, Monday mix. So that's 3 hours of not original programming, but other programming that might be something that folks like and always geared toward the eternal enemy. And then Davis Lerman, it's called Right Perspective Radio with Davis Lerman. That's 3 hours now, live, of course, and Night Nation Review live. From 11 p.m., this is all Eastern, till 2 a.m. So if you go to Tuesday, you'll see something similar. Again, Flood, Baal Busters. You don't have Giuseppe in on Tuesday. Then you got Zach at Logos Revealed from 5 to 7. Then you've got a non-original programming for just 1 hour. Then you've got, again, Davis Lerman and Nick at Night Nation Review. Oh, actually, I'm going to be starting a new show next week in that Tuesday 1 to 3 p.m. slot. And, again, this is Eastern. So I'll be doing it. I guess it's called going to be called the Dave Gehary Call-In Show, like I did when Dukester wasn't available for about a month or so. Wednesday, same thing. Flood, Baal Busters, Sane Asylum, Fetzer. There's a mix for 1 hour. So non-original program is only 1 hour. And then you got Io's show, which he's done for a couple of weeks, which is called Jews Are the Problem. It says my name on there, but that's wrong. We have to get that removed. I don't really know why that's on there. It's just some technical mishap. So Io's there for 2 hours. That goes right to Davis Lerman and Nick again. If you go to Thursday, get same thing, Flood, Baal Busters, and there's Giuseppe and I. That's our show. It's really the D plus G, a Speak Free call-in show for 2 hours. Then you got Jim Fetzer again, piped in from RBN. You've got a mix for 3 hours, non-original programming. Then you've got, again, Davis Lerman and Nick at Night Nation Review. Friday, same thing, Flood, Baal Busters, and then you got the Perfect Triangle. You got Jim Fetzer again, and then you have 3 hours mix, non-original programming. Then you got Davis and Nick at Night Nation Review.
Okay.
Today, Flood again, right after Flood, Friday, but, Fetcho, yep, inside yep. The Isle of Lot for 3 hours. Yep, we're almost done. Then we've got Red Ice Radio, which is non-original programming. 2 hours of a mix, which is non-original programming. Ryan Masano, you know about him. You guys talk about him. I was on his show for the last hour today, and that's his new time slot right before you guys. Then you guys, original programming, of course, and then Caravan to Midnight. He used to be on every night. Now it's just, it looks like just Saturday. And the last day, Sunday, you've got the original programming starts at 10. That's Eli James Bloodlines. That goes for 2 hours. And then there's a bunch of stuff that's piped in, not original programming, until the Dave and Duke call-in show, 7 to 9. And then it's followed by that new show by that nice fella, Diaz Sulis, and that's from 9 to 11. And then, of course, Robert Ravolt is, piped in from, I think, RBN.
So is it, am I missing a tab here?
No. Well, sometimes,
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, sometimes you have to minimize the size of the browser.
I do not minimize anything.
Okay. Well, then Sunday will never appear. Maybe is that? Yeah, I think you got to minimize
Sunday
it. I think that would do it.
Minimize it. Okay.
It's there. Maybe refresh it. Hit refresh. Maybe hit refresh.
Yeah.
That might be it. Yeah. Because there were some issues.
I don't see it.
You got to minimize. Yep. Just minimize the damn thing.
Minimize what?
No, like, you know how you can shrink the resolution of the web page? So if you hold down the control button and you scroll.
I got to do shrinking now? Now I'm shrinking?
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah. Make it a little bigger.
Okay. No, yeah. Because if I do, I'm going to lose. Oh, there we go. Okay, 90%. Okay, there we go.
You can make it a little bigger. Yeah. Here's the situation with
big problems.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
See, I would 100%.
Yeah, see, but now you can hit that little arrow on Saturday and then you could open it up. Because here's the situation with Speak Free Radio. When it was originally developed and we didn't know the direction that it would go into, and of course, when it was developed, most people had not woken to the Jew. Right. So what has happened was it's moved into the direction of programming that focuses on this particular topic with original programming. And Speak Free Radio never made any money, but we didn't know what it was going to do, how it was going to function. What I decided to do was use it as just a platform. And the purpose of it is because all of those people that we went through, including you guys, all of those people are doing these for free. They don't make any money. So they are providing excellent content, obviously, cutting edge content, because the stuff that all of us do is really, the tip of the spear, because who's going to turn on you or me or, anybody listening is going to turn on CNN or Fox and gag because it's a joke. So people want real stuff. They're coming here for real stuff. But what really should happen is if you can, Diana, if you click on shop, the shop tab to the left there.
How's that?
And click on, perfect. And click on that MTP thing.
That's the donate one, right? Correct?
No, I think it just goes to MTP.
Yes. Well, no.
I think you might have to click on it again. Put a little muscle into it next time.
Put a little muscle into the damn thing. You know what? There's more than one way to skin a cat, and I love cats. So
come on already. Click it.
I clicked it. So all right, last week we donated $6 million to Ryan.
Yes. Excellent. Yes,
You can put in $6 million?
No, I didn't know that. Don't give people ideas.
No.
Yes, we already bought we bought Epstein Island with that $6 million. Why don't you just go to Money Tree Publishing since
hold on.
It's not where it might not be your fault.
One, two, three. Look. Add to cart.
I can't see anything
six
in there.
$6 million.
Oh, you're not on MTP. You're still on SFR. You gotta nobody can see it.
You know. It didn't move with me.
That's right, exactly.
It didn't move with me. Oh, my goodness.
I would reprimand that website in your best German. There you go. Okay,
look
so
this, six
look.
Million. So you can donate $6 million.
Can you click remove?
Remove.
Yeah, to the left of that MTP logo.
Remove.
Okay,
I just
so
removed it, my
good.
$6 million.
You see, it says return to shop.
Yes.
Can you click on that now? Scroll down. Keep going. Right there. Click on that MTP Money Tree Publishing.
That's what I did.
Donation. Please click on that.
You couldn't see me.
I know. Now click on choose an option.
Yep.
Now, what do you see in there?
Different people that you can donate to.
See, we can't.
Look at that.
Yeah, right. So we can't see it because it just will not. When you click choose an option, we don't see it. But
hold on a second. Let me. It's, you know, it works for Zoom. It doesn't work for this.
Yeah.
You know what?
Can you?
It's a good thing. Hold on. I'm going back.
Yeah.
Hold on, is that the right one? I just gotta make sure. Hold on.
Diane's got it.
I'm trying, but when I don't think it's gonna work. Yeah, I don't think.
I don't think it's gonna work. But that's okay. But can you read what it says in the options?
It says donate to MTP Money Tree Publishing $5. Donate to Speak Free Radio Eli, to AO, to NNR, to Zach, to Ryan, to Fetch, to Flood, to Tenetris,
yes,
Giuseppe, Hoaxbusters, Davis, Lerman, and you can donate to Speak Free Radio Operational Expenses.
Boom.
Is that what you're trying to get at?
Right. Thank you. So exactly. So this is what I would like everybody to do, because there has already been money donated to hosts. So every host, or almost every host, has a way of taking donations.
Holy cow.
This is what keeps them going. Yep. So they have like what's called super chats. I don't really know what it is, but you know, they have like give, send, go, or buy me a cup of coffee or whatever. So I want SFR to be just a platform for the host to create content. And I want people not to donate to SFR or to MTP, but to the hosts. And this is why. The reason is because if you don't donate to them, and I'm talking to everybody out there who's listening to this, if you don't donate to them, they're not going to be able to do it because they're going to go away because they're not going to be able to afford to hang out. And not all of them, everyone's different, but generally that's the way it works. So if you go into your car and you listen to an FM radio station, they play commercials, of course, and they make money from advertising, right? So the companies pay the radio station so they can advertise their product on the radio station. Nobody is going to bring their product to Speak Free Radio.
No.
Of course.
Say it
of course
isn't
not. So. Well,
not?
Right, exactly.
Why not?
Because we're anti-Semitic, Holocaust denying, vile neo Nazis.
They don't know Nazis are going to be the cool guys very soon.
Yeah, well, they don't know anything. So here, when I was on radio in New York City, right? So I was on in the Northeast, but the last real radio station I was on was actually in Manhattan on Wall Street. And it was a Pacifica radio station. And that was WBAI.
Yes, I've been
listener. Listener supported, non-commercial. You know about them, Uncle Murray?
I do. I visited the studio. I think I spoke to Al Lewis. When did I visit the studio?
Oh, yeah.
It was for the personal computer show. Those guys, Hank Key and Joe King. Right.
Yeah, I never met Grandpa, but I did meet many times and hung out with what's her name? Goodman, Amy Goodman.
Yes.
Yeah. So we broadcast from the same booth, and sometimes we overlapped. So the way that Pacifica operates, and they're in Manhattan, I think they're in Houston, and they're in California, like Los Angeles, right? KPFK, they might have one more, I'm not sure. But they are listener-supported, non-commercial. Listener-supported, non-commercial. There are no commercials.
There are no
companies who would advertise.
Yeah.
No, right. No money. There are no commercials who would, companies who would advertise on Pacifica because they're not like this, but they're a cutting edge, right? Station that talks about stuff that you're not going to hear, you know, on the Jews media. So therefore, the listeners to this show, please support Hoaxbusters. And what's going to happen is this month is like, for example, like with book sales, like when the month is up, then the following month, then I do like the math and stuff and calculate the royalties for the authors, and the filmmakers and the narrators. And then that following month, I pay them. So now that we started this with the donations to the content creators, to the hosts, the following month, this month, whatever was donated to them, I will pay them, transfer it to them. There has been a little bit of money donated to Hoaxbusters. You guys didn't know about it, I guess, but that's why I wanted to explain it. So, therefore,
we want to donate it to Donald Trump.
I took your money. I already did that.
Yes. That's a joke.
That's done. Yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah, I know it's a joke. Yeah. So is he.
Yes.
So this is really the way the station's going to function from now on. It's a listener supported, non-commercial radio station. If you want Hoaxbusters on the air, and look, don't worry about Jim. He's getting out of the hospital. Always honest, wasn't worried. I'm not worried about him either. He's coming out. He's going to be fine. Stronger than ever. But if you want these guys to stay on the air, go to Money Tree Publishing, click the shop tab, go to that cute little, you know, sunset with the tree, Money Tree, click on that, choose an option, donate to your favorite hosts, whoever they are. It doesn't matter. That's your choice. $5 is the minimum. As Diana said, $6 million is the max. Anything in between is fine.
Who said $6 million was the max?
You're right. Let's raise it.
Who said $6 million? Right. We'll raise it. We'll raise it.
It's just a number, for God's sakes.
A number.
If I wish I was so lucky. All right. So, honestly, $5 is the minimum. Donate what you can. If you want to donate once a week to these guys, it goes straight to them. There is a processing fee, of course. Processors will take the money out. That's not going to affect them. They're going to get exactly what was donated. And I do reports every month on that stuff. That's pretty fastidious. And I go through this stuff a couple of times to make sure I'm right, because everybody makes mistakes. And that's just the way it is. So please, listener-supported non-commercial radio, Speak Free Radio exists for the hosts to create their original content, which you are a part. The listeners are a part of that content, obviously. But the way to keep them on is to donate, whether it's $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10, $20, $50, $100, or whatever it is. If it's once a week, if it's once a month, if it's once a year, that's fine. But just take care of them so they could stay on the air.
I feel I should loosen. I should loosen my tie and have a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. I feel like this is like Jerry Lewis.
Exactly,
Jerry Lewis telephone.
Exactly,
yeah, the Dave Gaharie telephone.
It's funny because you know, I did. When I thought about it, I did do that. For a couple of people, and a lot of money was raised for Michael Weaver, who needs a hernia operation. When he came on the show, the D plus G call-in show, he needed $10,000. He was at about $6,100, And in 1 or 2 days, we got him almost to 13,000.
Oh, yeah.
So he's done. I did it on Flood Show. He had the biggest day that he ever had, which was about $2,000.
Yeah.
So in one day. So, like, you guys are, you see, this is the thing. And you don't recognize this until, you know, we can't know everything all at once, obviously. You guys are really talented. All of you guys are really talented. It's just like, it's cutting edge stuff. It's like, it's so invigorating to listen to Hoaxbusters, to Flood, to all you guys, because you're all talking about stuff that's going to benefit anyone who's smart enough to listen to it for the rest of their lives. And I think it's only right that SFR pays the tab to keep you on there by the money that we pay to run the station, and that the listeners, because we can't get companies to advertise, the listeners are the ones who make sure that you stay on the air.
Well, thank you, David. I think I can speak for Jim and Miss Diane. Miss Diane, if you want to chime in. We appreciate that you're doing this, but I don't know that any of us wanted any money. Miss Diane, do you want that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Dave, if someone needs the money, and I'm sure they do, you know our interest in regarding the Holocaust denier and exposés. That's our if there's somebody who is along those lines that would benefit from any money might be given to us, we appreciate you passing that on. That's our, Jim has always said, the Holocaust has been his number one issue because it's the one topic we're not supposed to talk about. That's why he chose it.
Absolutely. And if there are donations for you and you receive them, then you can allocate them how you see fit.
Well, we're letting you know in advance. That's how
I know you don't want money. I'm the same way. I don't give a damn about money. But people...
Unless it's $6 million. If you want to give me $6 million, I'll take
then,
it.
Then I would take it. I would take the $6
million. I prefer cash, no check. Just put it in a bag. Paper bag is fine. I don't need to have a shopping bag. I can hold it. Maybe two paper bags. I don't know.
$6 million in a bag.
Probably not. Bags. You know what? Put it in those lawn and leaf bags. There you go.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Those lawn and leaf bags. how many lawn and leaf bags do you need for $6 million? I want it in ones, by the way. In ones.
So here is the main reason for doing this, right? Because what do we need to take on the enemy? We need our own
platform.
Media.
And our own
right.
money.
We need our own media, right?
And it can't okay. raid.
And you can't, yeah, and you, it's right, they're cockroaches. You can't do any of this stuff without money. Now, Money Tree Publishing has cash flow because it has those books. So, you know, Money Tree Publishing is existing. It came into existence in January 2017. It's never raised prices since then, and it's not going to, because it's not in business to make money. It's in business to get the word out. Everybody's raised prices. Every damn thing has gone up so much. Our prices have gone up. Our costs, right? Of course. Sure. Packaging, postage, tape. It's a joke. Everything's like
stamps.
Literally
stamps. Stamps are going up to like 70.
Well, that's what I said. Postage, yeah. Well, they're going up to 73, I think. So Everything's going up, but SFR exists for you guys because you guys are the stuff that they listen to. They don't listen to SFR. It's just a bunch of cables and, right, websites. They listen to you guys. So we need our own platform. We got the radio here. We're going to get that humming. We're going to get all original programming. Going to get humming. Then we're going to work on the next project, which is the video. And you guys are doing it right now with Speak Free Video. So we've got to get our own media. We've got to allow new options for not just, you know, the folks who are like our age, right, in their 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s, but the younger folks, 20s, 30s, 40s, and even, you know, young kids are waking up. So we want to be a place where they can all come. They can't get this information from anywhere else, not like this. You know, the cool thing about all of us is that we don't have egos. That's the difference. You look at some of these other people in these shows, they're like the cult of personality stuff, and it's all egos, like a Fuentes or a Alex Jones or whoever it might be. It's all about them. But for us, it's not. That's why you let the people in to talk, except when I come on the show, then nobody could talk, but you let people in to talk, and it's just like a family. So that's what I wanted to say about the donation. So I hope that folks will utilize that option to let the hosts know that they're appreciated and how they're appreciated. Diane and Diana and Jim might not want the money or need the money or would prefer that it goes somewhere else. But I know these other hosts are in need for that because they're younger, less established financially, and they're trying to keep a roof over their heads and everything else that, you know, we all have to do to live in, you know, the greatest democracy in the world. Oh, wait a second, it's not a democracy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Constitutional a Republic. Yeah, it's supposed to
yes,
be.
Yes, exactly.
We got screwed.
Oh, we did. And that's it. I'm done, I think.
Well, thank you, Dave Zaharie.
Hey, yes. Dave. That's an excellent system that you got installed there, I must say.
Thank you, Uncle Murray. Yeah.
The most excellent exposé or portrayal of what Speak Free Radio is, and that's important.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yes, yes. And the Always Honest donated to Speak Free the other day, and she donated to Michael Weaver. That was a fun show. So thank you, everyone who's done it. And I let all of the hosts know when somebody's donated to them and give them their email address so they can thank them. And I'm kind of strict. I think I have some German in me too. So I'm kind of strict about this stuff.
Good.
And so I want to make sure that the hosts thank the donors for that because mm-hmm. it's important for them to know that, you know, they got it and they appreciate it. So that's the way it's supposed to work. So we'll see how it goes.
Sounds good.
So I just, let's see, I just did an internet search. How many paper bags for $1 million at once?
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, so I'll get back to you guys on that. I got to do a little math.
It's probably
a lot of paper bags. And you know, in Massachusetts, you have to bring your own bags or you have to buy a bag. So then you have to take that into consideration. So anyway, thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much. I hope I didn't take too much of your time. And I wasn't
good.
Okay, good. And best to Jim. Jim, we love you. As you know, we all love you. Get better. And please keep us, you know, up to date with what's happening. If, you know, Diane or Diana, you can text me or, you know, however you want to do it. And just give me an update so I can spread the word to people who are concerned because I know they are.
Thank you.
Okay. Now get back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
All right.
And, And it looks like Rick, bye, Dave. Looks like Rick is joining us. Rick, did you want to chime in?
Hey, yeah, I just want to, can you hear me?
Yep. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment that on a comment that you made earlier, that you really think that this is fake with the Trump trial. And I really believe the same thing from way back. I think this is a bunko operation coming out of New York, and it's to really work the minds of these Trump supporters. That, because when Trump comes back to power, he gets back in the White House, they'll have voted for him three times. And these people are not going to be able to even look themselves in the mirror when Trump does things that these Jews want him to do. And that is drop a big bomb on us with a red flag law nationwide.
Yep. Yep.
And these supporters are not going to say nothing. They're going to drop their head and turn around. They're not going to make a, they're going to feel so stupid. And this is how it works. This is the psychology of the Jews. These people are brilliant when it comes to working over the goyim. I mean, they've had thousands of years of experience as employers. They know what makes people tick. And when Trump goes back to the White House, these people are going to be so relieved and happy that whatever he does, they're going to own it.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, Uncle Murray, what are you going to say?
Yeah, it's just weaponizing the seven deadly sins. That's all they've done. It's nothing. It's just clever. There's nothing smart about it, guys. All you got to do is, all you have to do is mishit your targets, right? And you're aware of what's going on, and you're guarded from it, you know. And guard somebody else. Get somebody else's six and protect them. Nobody can do it alone. But by using teamwork, they can be beat easy. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't. Rick, do you feel as hopeful as Uncle Murray that they can be beat easy?
It ain't going to be. We're not going to beat these people in the next, 5 to 8 years. I think Trump's coming back. I think Trump's coming back, and he's going to disappoint everybody. See, he's coming back to go to work for the Jews, and what the Jews want is tariffs on all of Chinese products, because the Chinese are in the business of copyright infringement that affects the Jews, all sorts of things that's going on for China. Trump is going to be working for the Jews when he drops a tariff on us. He wants to put a 10% tariff on all Chinese imports. Well, that's a 10% sales tax on the American people. Okay.
Do you think, Rick, you don't think the Jews already control China?
No, they don't. I don't think so, because their banking system is in the hands of the Communist Party. The banking system is not private. It is in the hands of the people and the insurance companies.
Well, the Communist Party is Jewish also, though, isn't it?
The Jews, right. Isn't it the same? I mean, they're the ones that brought communism to China.
Well, excuse me for a second. It's a stretch, because look at, in China, if you have a company that robs the employees charge the property and kill the owner. Okay, it's a whole different culture. Mm. Yeah, you can say the Jews own and control everything, but for the most part, they don't control. You can't own 51% of a company in China. Okay, they will not let you in that door. So, everything that's made in China is contracted by American companies. The Chinese manufacture it. They manufacture all the generic drugs over there for Israel.
Israel controls
the generic drug market. No, it doesn't matter what's being made over there. You cannot own 51% of the company.
Right. We understand that. We understand there were 8 Chinese families that were mixed with Jews.
You got to remember, the Chinese are Jew-wise, okay? They're just as Jew-wise as a lot of people here in America.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, but I don't think Americans are going to have to be disappointed by Trump. And look, people are getting sick of capitalism. And that's why they got these two old farts running for president and nobody else can get in. And so maybe down the road a ways, more and more awareness is happening. I mean, really, there's a lot of awareness happening out there. And that's only thing we can work on is awareness and get people on board. And, just spread the word. And when the numbers start to, enlarge and become powerful, then we have a chance. But right now, we have to take the media away from the Jews.
Right. You should have done
that. That has to be nationalized. Right. That's we have to sell the people that we have to nationalize the media. Mm. We have to nationalize the banking system. Okay.
It's all our infrastructure. They just hijack.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, we're not going to beat these people, you know, anytime soon. But we can defend ourselves better with the more people that are out there that, you know what's going on.
Yeah. No, I like that, Rick. How old are you? Can I ask?
I'm 66.
You don't sound 66. I was going to say you're on a show with a bunch of old bastards, but I guess you're one of them.
I'm just as old. Yeah.
Sorry, I got a chuckle out of that one. You just sound so much younger. I'm so, I was thinking you're like 35.
Yeah, I'll bet you didn't sound 66, Rick. So hail to you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, My ex was an RN for many years, and she was way older than me. And when I met her, she was trained in at Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan, and that's when they paid her to go to school to be a nurse, and they kept her on the property, room and board.
There you go.
And yeah, and she told me back in like 1986, 1987, that if you lived in Manhattan at the time, everybody knew that Donald Trump was laundering money for the Jewish mafia out of Russia. Right. You know, it was common knowledge to people in Manhattan, you know, but the media controls what everybody thinks and sees. So whatever. Okay. Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. Thank you. That was interesting. Always honest. Did you want to finish the thought that you had earlier? I don't know if you can still hear. Miss Diane, did you want to chime in?
Well, I thought I was very glad when Dave got on and presented the information about Speak Free Radio. Now that is an advertisement. That's there a commercial. And we need to hear that every now and then. We need updates about what Speak Free Radio is doing. And so I'm glad he came on. It was a perfect opportunity to do that. We don't have a lot of agenda. There apparently aren't a lot of people waiting. I wanted to, after Memorial Day this past week, to just basically discuss, I wouldn't say discuss, but present a couple of articles on the good war myth of World War II and why it's dangerous. Mark Weber in his Good Days and Dark Side of the Good War, Michael Bess's Los Angeles Times article. And I have, I suppose I could put this in the private chat, but suffice it to say, when I can, I will put it on the in the description for our, or if somebody wants to email me, through Jim's email, they can. But it's I can read this, and I'll read them real quickly because I know we're getting close to the end. How accurate is this hallowed portrayal of America's role in World War II? As we shall see, it does not hold up under close examination. The three Allied leaders accomplished what they accused the Axis leaders of Germany, Italy, and Japan of conspiring to achieve world domination. Presidential deception to justify war did not start with George W. Bush. Americans who express admiration for the U.S. role in World War II and for Franklin Roosevelt's presidential leadership have little moral right to complain when presidents follow his example and lead the country into war by breaking the law, subverting the Constitution, and lying to the people. And that's just the intro of this particular article. The second one, The Dark Side of the Good War. World War II is widely considered one of the most morally unambiguous military conflicts in history. The quintessential good war, as journalist Studs Terkel once described it. At the same time, 60 years of research and reflection have gradually brought to light numerous aspects of this conflict that do not fit a straightforward pattern of black and white moral clarity. Hamburg, Dresden, Tokyo, entire cities, tens of thousands of noncombatant civilians at a time incinerated or blasted to bits under steady torrent of British and American bombs. The large-scale killing of children, women, and old people had now become routine facets of Allied warfare, and I might add, American military policy.
Hmm. Well, thank you for that, Miss Diane.
Yes, ma'am.
And a lot of people probably don't know that you were in the military.
Yes, ma'am. Henry got surprised, too. He had 6 years in the Air Force toward the end of the Vietnam War.
So you did not fly a plane, though, did you?
See, no, see, that's the misnomer. Not everything that's in the Air Force flies. We're not all stealth fighters, you know, kind of a man-made drones attacking. The Air Force is a huge industry, and it has to, as with any, it has to have a lot of support personnel. I worked in a C-5, and C-5 used to be the mammoth aircraft that would transport tanks and trucks to various places. And Delaware had both of the C-5 aircraft squadrons. And so, no, but I worked in the C-5 orderly room, which was administration. So, no. And
okay, so no plane flying.
Nope. Well, I flew in them. I didn't fly them.
That's still pretty cool.
Well, I was in a C-5. That's an interesting. And a C-130. That was also an interesting experience. And I am prone to motion sickness. So the best thing for me is to be able to lay down and fall asleep. And I still I'll sleep all the way from Delaware to California. So as a result, that was my defense. But anyway, yeah, I have flown in them, but not flown them.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. So we are running out of time, and we do have a song, one of my favorites. But just a shout out to Jim. Hopefully he's still listening, and we're praying for you. For those of you who might be turning in right now, Jim had a heart attack, and he's in a hospital in Texas. He is not happy about the thought of having to undergo a cardiac bypass surgery.
Again.
So he's looking into again, and he's looking into other alternatives. So please pray for Jim, and that he has guidance from the man above.
Amen. Blessings to you, Jim. Blessings.
Yes. And
I want to give a proper plug for Flood. He's 5 to 8 Pacific, Monday to Saturday. 8 to 11 Eastern time, and sometimes it comes on an hour earlier. But thank you, Diane.
Okay, thank you. And we're gonna close.
Do that.
Thank you. We're gonna close with this very creative little ditty there.
Okay.
So good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, Diana.
I love this.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we kick off the show with Tom Jones.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So clever. So clever. Emily, what is it? Eustace? Emily?
Yeah.
It's not unusual to be loathed by everyone. It's not unusual to be expelled by everyone. When we see you messing around with everyone. It's not unusual to name the Jew. Oh, you know I do. It's not unusual to take note of who's to blame. For usury and media lies, it's all the same. When the people figure out who has rigged the game. It's not unusual, it happens every year. No matter what you hear, those bankers pay for all the crime. I can't disavow another pogrom now. You know what happens all the time. Why it's not unusual for you to see me through all their masks. It's not unusual to take all unpleasant